Psalm 110. This has to be one of the highlights in the book of Psalms, Psalm 110, because it tells us so much about the Lord Jesus Christ, who He is as our great high priest. Not like Aaron, but like Melchizedek. He's a special, special high priest. The Lord Jesus Christ is our king priest. He's our king. King of kings and Lord of lords, and the one who is our God and Savior is our great high priest. Whoever lives to intercede for us, he's our advocate, he's our mediator, he's the very one that we need. He's the very one that God has given unto us to represent us before God. This psalm, the Lord said, look at verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. And then look at verse 4. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. This psalm is one of the most quoted psalms in the New Testament. I found at least 7 or 8 different references to this psalm given unto us. It's no wonder that both the Old and New Testament are all about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember our Lord said, don't turn, let me just read it to you. In Luke 24, He said, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. All the book of God, Old and New Testament, is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. To Him give all the prophets witness. No one in the Old Testament served as a king and priest. There were many kings in Israel's day, David and others, but none of them were priests of God. They never officiated as a priest. There were many anointed priests. The family of Aaron, tribe of Levi, that was a whole priestly tribe. There were many, many priests, year after year after year. But none of them were kings. Only the Lord Jesus Christ is both priest and king. He's a very special, special king. And He's also not only priest and king, but He's a prophet. Prophet, priest, and king. He's a fulfillment of Moses' office. He's a fulfillment of Aaron's office. And He's certainly the fulfillment of David's office. He's the greater David. The greater David, as I often called him when we, 11 years ago when we went through the book of Psalms, remember I called the Lord Jesus Christ the greater David. You remember that? The greater David. And He is. He's that prophet to reveal the gospel unto us. He hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto us. He's the priest who represents us before God. What a representative we have. We have what we call state representatives who represent us in that legislative body. And we have senators and congressmen that represent us. They're supposed to. Our interest in the Capitol, in the United States government. And they have an office to represent us, but the Lord Jesus Christ represents us in the highest court. And He represents us well. He sees to our interests and meets every need we have as our advocate, mediator, and intercessor. Aren't you glad you have such a representative as the Lord Jesus Christ? A prophet reveals, a priest redeems. The Lord Jesus Christ is our fit redeemer, is He not? He's our kinsman redeemer. And then the Lord Jesus Christ is also our king to reign and rule over us. In the Revelations, He's called King of Kings and Lord of lords. Now, let's look at verse 1. The Lord said, now notice that's capital L-O-R-D. Whenever you see that in Scripture, it's referring to Jehovah, God the Father, eternal, self-existent, holy, sovereign, eternal God, said unto my Lord. Remember, David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Here's the Father having a conversation with the Son, and the Father says to his only begotten Son, you sit at my right hand. You remember when he by himself purged our sin? What happened? He sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. You sit down at my right hand until I make all your enemies to bow at your throne, at your footstool. You reckon that'll happen? I absolutely will. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God the Father speaking unto God the Son concerning the victories that the Lord will win for us. In Hebrews 1, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God. There's the Father calling the Son, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. These words the Lord Jesus quoted to the Pharisees to silence them. We read a moment ago. How can he be David's son at the same time David's Lord? Because he is God, our Savior. He is the only begotten, well-beloved Son of God. God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And yet he's the Son of Man, born of a woman. Born under the law to redeem them that were under the law. He is a special, unique, and only person because he is totally and fully God, totally and fully man, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's totally God, totally man, in one blessed person. The old timers called him the God-man mediator. The God-man mediator. I like that. One God, one mediator between God and men, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word was made flesh. The Word that was with God, that was God, and that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Here we have the privilege of hearing the conversation between the Holy Father, the Holy Son, given by God the Holy Spirit. David, by the Holy Spirit, says this. So those Psalms that David penned are the words that God the Holy Spirit gave him to write down. Sit at my right hand, he said, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The right hand of God has to be a special place reserved for the only begotten Son of God, that special priest of God. He is the Lamb on the throne. We're going to study on Sunday from Revelation 5. He is the Lamb slain, but he's also the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the Lion and he's the Lamb. This is the one who is God, our Savior. No Old Testament priest ever sat down, and yet God says to the Lord Jesus Christ, having accomplished all our salvation, he says, sit down. Your work is done. It's finished, successful, complete, effectual. The Lord Jesus Christ, being our great high priest, having accomplished all our salvation, he sat down in absolute victory. No Old Testament priest, when you look at the different furniture in that tabernacle, there was no chair in there. No chair, no place for them to sit down. They went in, they were doing all the priestly work, but they never sat down. The Lord Jesus Christ, not in the earthly tabernacle, but in heaven itself, sat down because of work the Father gave him to do. You remember he prayed that, Lord, I finished the work. I finished the work you gave me to do. He's a successful, victorious, effectual Savior. He's the surety of the everlasting covenant. He's the better priest. surety of a better covenant based upon a better sacrifice. What is that better sacrifice? Well, not the blood of bulls and goats, but with His own blood, He obtained for us eternal redemption. Now notice it says there, until I make thine enemies thy footstool, make them to bow. All His enemies will be made to bow under His lordship. All His enemies will be forced to surrender and confess that He is Lord. That's what He does to us right now. By the way of grace, because by nature, what are we before God? Enemies. But because the Lord Jesus Christ has reconciled us unto God by His blood, therefore He calls us His friends. Listen to this. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked work, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh to death, to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in His sight. Lord, what a great high priest we have. He's made us who are by nature enemies because of our sin, because of our wicked nature. Let me read this to you in 1 Corinthians 15. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall be made alive. Then every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterward they that are Christ at His coming. Then cometh the end when He shall deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when He shall put down all rule, all authority, all power, for He must reign. 1 Corinthians 15:25. He must reign till He puts all enemies under His feet. All enemies, He subdues all His enemies. Now He subdues us in a way of grace, but we're going to see here in a minute that He's going to strike through the kings of the earth in the day of His wrath, day of His judgment and condemnation. Now look at verse 2. Psalm 110 verse 2. The Lord shall send. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength. The rod of the gospel out of Zion. And that's what He's talking about. And this rod of thy strength, the rod of the strength of the gospel that comes out of Zion. Zion is His church. Zion is His people. Chosen of God, blessed of God, sent to preach the gospel of God. And that gospel of God that He sends out, it'll rule. It rules in the hearts of His enemies. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, by its strength and power, does subdue us and causes us to bow in submission to His lordship. That's how He makes us willing in the day of His power. How does He make us willing in the day of His power? He makes Himself unto us altogether lovely. And we say, we must have Him. He gives us a love for Him. We only love Him because He first loved us. Out of Zion, out of God's gospel church, He will send the rod of His Word. You remember the Word of God is called quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. We know His gospel, Paul describes it, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believed, to the Jew or Gentile. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter nationality. The gospel is the power of God. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the power of God converting enemies. Calls them friends. Abraham was called a friend of God. And the gospel comes to us in the power of God the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? You remember from our study in 1 Thessalonians, where Paul said, well, we know your elections of God, because our gospel came not to you in word only. Well, they did come that way. They heard Paul preach the gospel, but it came in the power of God, the Holy Spirit. And it quickens. It makes alive. It convicts of sin and converts us by His grace. His gospel will rule in the hearts of His people. He will reconcile us unto Himself. He will make us new creatures in Christ. And He'll cause us to love Him. He'll cause us to believe the gospel. Who had ever thought that a rebel like me would one day be brought to bow in submission and the Lord would teach me the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, His saving grace, and send this old rotten sinner out to tell other rotten sinners where salvation is found? It's a miracle. And that's what the Lord uses. It pleased God through preaching to call out His people. Aren't you glad that God sent you a gospel preacher? I sure am. Glad God sent me a gospel preacher. And God sent you a gospel preacher, and that's how you heard the gospel. That's how you learned the gospel. That's how God taught you who He is, who you are, and what Christ has done for us and where He is now. Now look at verse 3. And I quote this verse quite often, verse 3. And it certainly is a verse that we need to memorize and look at and meditate upon. Thy people. Now, it doesn't say all people. Now, here he's talking about the subduing grace of God given to a certain people. Thy people. Who are these people? Well, they're His. Where did the Lord Jesus Christ get these people? God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. God gave the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me, they will come to me. We call that? The Bible doctrine of election. God from eternity chose a people and gave them to the Lord Jesus Christ. He made the Lord Jesus Christ their surety, their Redeemer, their Savior. And they cannot be lost. You read on there in John chapter 6. He says, all that He gives me, I'll never cast them out. I'll raise everyone up at the last day. No one for whom the Lord Jesus Christ died will perish. There's no one in hell for whom the Lord Jesus Christ died. Is there? If He put away their sin and established righteousness for them, God's wrath has no claim on them. The law of God has no claim on them. There's no condemnation to those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thy people. Who are these people? Oh, they're sinners chosen by the grace of God. Who made you to differ from another? His grace has made us to differ. Thy people shall be willing. Willing to what? Willing to believe. Willing to serve the Lord Jesus Christ out of love and gratitude. We're willing, made willing in the day of His power. He causes us by His grace to submit unto His Lordship. What are they made to do? They're made to willingly receive, believe, and love the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember Psalm 65, blessed is a man whom Thou chooses and causes to approach unto Thee. Our Lord said, no man can come to Me except the Father which sent Me draw him. Thy people shall be willing in the day of their power. What are they made to see? They're made to see the beauty of holiness. They're made to see that the Lord Jesus Christ, He's beautiful. That crowd said that day when Pilate presented the Lord Jesus Christ, they said, away with Him. Away, we don't need Him. When we see Him, you remember Isaiah 53, there's no beauty in Him that we should desire Him. But when He does a work of grace in our heart, when we're made willing in the day of His power, we see Him who is altogether beautiful. He's a wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. That's how the eyes of faith behold the Lord Jesus Christ as altogether lovely. To you who believe, He is precious. We see His holy character. And we see the absolute need of His righteousness. His righteousness. Jehovah said, Canoe, He's the Lord. our righteousness. I've got an article in the bulletin on Sunday about the sevenfold names of Jehovah. You remember Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Shalom, and so on. He is the Lord, our righteousness. I need righteousness. I'm in absolute need of two things. I need all my sin put away. How is sin put away? Certainly not by anything we do. What we do or don't do. Our sin is not redeemed or atoned for by what we do. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. We're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. So I need my sin removed. He did that. But I also need righteousness imputed. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is my righteousness before God. He's made to us righteousness. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. We have, as believers, an absolute, perfect, justifying righteousness, holiness before God that's put to your account. What is that? What's involved there? Well, I'll give you a simple, homely illustration. All of you have a debit card or a credit card, no doubt. And when you take that debit card or credit card and you use it somewhere, they impute that charge to your account. And you're responsible to pay that debt. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ took all of our sin, was imputed to Him, and He fully paid that debt. God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He puts His righteousness on our account. He takes all of our sin to Himself and then gives us all His righteousness. Well, that's grace, isn't it? That's sovereign, the sovereign grace of God. You see what He's saying there? Look at verse 3 again. Thy people shall be willing in the day of His power. He has all. You remember John 17 verse 2. The Father had given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as the Father had given to Him. That's those people again we're talking about. Thy people. We see the beauty of holiness, and we see this, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the womb of the morning, Thou hast the dew of Thy youth. The Lord Jesus Christ in His person, He never changes. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're made to know that the Lord Jesus Christ, He has eternal life. The womb of the morning, the dew of youth, that's salvation in Christ. The water of life, everlasting salvation. Now, the second part of this talks about His priesthood. The Lord has sworn. Now, can you swear by any greater? The Lord hath taken an oath, it says in Hebrews 6. The Lord has sworn. Well, it must be pretty important. It must be pretty valid. If the Lord God Almighty has sworn. If you go over here to town in the circuit court and you are sworn in. You're sworn in before the judge. That carries some weight, doesn't it? You're swearing in to tell the truth, the whole truth, so help you God. You raise your hand. I don't know if you put your hand on the Bible anymore or not. They used to. But you take an oath. You swear. Our Lord can swear by no greater. He's taken an oath unto Himself. And will not repent. That means it cannot change. He said, I'm the Lord, I change not. What God has sworn to in eternity, He's sworn in that eternal covenant of grace to make the Lord Jesus Christ a surety, and He shall save His people from their sin. God hath taken an oath. He's sworn to it. You reckon it'll be done? I reckon so. And He said, here's the oath He takes. The Lord Jesus Christ, He says to Him, Thou art a priest forever. Forever. after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord Jesus Christ is our great high priest. He's a king priest. Melchizedek here is a mysterious character that appears on the page of Scripture one brief time. Remember? In Genesis chapter 14, where he met Abraham returning from the battle and blessed him. And then he disappears. He came one time, blessed one man, and then he just disappears. He's a very good picture of Christ our King priest. Some of the old theologians even think that Melchizedek was a pre-incarnate visit of the Lord Jesus Christ. That it was Christ Himself. A pre-incarnate visit of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. The Lord Jesus Christ is our great high priest forever. Not like Aaron. Now Aaron was a priest. They even had high priests. But there was never a great high priest among the tribe of Levi. The Lord Jesus Christ is that great high priest from the tribe of Judah. Something special about that man. He's a different priest of a higher order, not the Aaronic priesthood, but the Melchizedek priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ is superior and better in every way. Now let me give you this. Under the Old Testament priesthood, there were many priests over how many thousands of years. The Lord Jesus Christ is only one priest. Their sacrifices under the Old Covenant were many. The Lord Jesus Christ brought one sacrifice for sin. You see how His priesthood is superior? His priesthood is far better. This is the priest we need. Their sacrifice was with animal blood, which never put away sin. The blood of bulls and goats cannot atone for sin. The Lord Jesus Christ brought His own blood. You see how much superior our Melchizedek is? God bought the church with His own blood. Their sacrifices never put away sin. Christ's one sacrifice made complete atonement for our sin. Those priests under the Old Testament, they died. The Lord Jesus Christ died for our sin according to Scripture, but He ever lived to make intercession for us. Their priesthood had a beginning and an end under the law, Old Testament, Aaronic priesthood. The Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal priest. They ministered in a tabernacle, an earthly tabernacle. The Lord Jesus Christ appears in the heavens for us in that great tabernacle. He appears now in the presence of God for us. You see how much more superior He is as Christ, our Melchizedek, great high priest, versus the Aaronic priesthood. This is a priest that God has provided for us. Boy, I'm glad I have a Melchizedek priest. That represents us before the throne of God. Before the throne of God forever. Christ's priesthood will never change. He ever lived to intercede for us. We've studied through the book of Hebrews a couple times, so you're familiar with this. But let me read this to you. And there's making a comparison between Aaron and Melchizedek. Aaron's priesthood in the Lord Jesus Christ, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Every priest standeth daily, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. This is Hebrews 10, verse 11. But this man, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, after he offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God, henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. See, that's the same verse, isn't it? For the one offering he hath perfected forever, them that are sanctified. One offering, perfected forever, them that are sanctified. What a great high priest we have. None like him, none before him, and none will ever precede him. None will succeed him. Now, let me just read the rest of this because my time is gone. The Lord at thy right hand, the Lord at the right hand, the Father committed all judgment unto the Son, verse 5. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. What is his wrath? It's his holiness stirred in activity against sin. He shall judge among the heathen. He has a right to judge. The judge of all the earth will do right. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. Sin demands death. The guilty must die. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. The wages of sin is death. He shall wound the heads over many countries. The heads over many countries. The king's heart in the hand of the Lord. And he turns it whithersoever he will. Oh, Vladimir Putin thinks he's somebody. He's tooting his horn real big. You think he's any match for the Lord our God? Our God can snuff him out just like that. Our Lord shall drink of the brook in the way. He's not upset by these enemies that rail against his rule. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. His head is lifted up in victory. Oh, one time it was bowed in sorrow. A man of sorrow acquainted with grief. But he lifted up his head in victory, delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. And here's the good news about that to us. Thanks be to God who's given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.